Praise God. It's good to be in church with all of you. It's good to worship our Savior together. You know, people might think, what good is worship? Well, I know this, that you look into heaven and you see some things going on in heaven in the Bible. And man, God must like worship because they're worshiping Him day and night up there. And you know, it's not that our Father is has a big head or is so narcissistic that He needs that. He just loves His children loving on Him. You know, I love when my children love on me. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's a blessing. I don't make them. God doesn't make us worship. He just lets us know I really like it. Praise God. And so let's just worship Him. Father, we love You tonight. We love You. We're so grateful, Father. We bring our sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Your name. And Father, we want You to know we love You. We're just grateful for all You are in our lives, what You've done for us. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness when we're not faithful. I thank You, Lord, that You gave us Jesus because You knew we'd falter. You knew we'd fail. You knew we wouldn't be perfect. And so thank You for that kindness, even in our mess-ups, even in our misses. You are just so loving and kind. Thank You. I need it. I know we all need it. So help us tonight, Father. Give me boldness. Give me utterance. Father, I thank You the anointing will come upon this message. And I thank You as I open my mouth. I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, You know my heart's cry. It's not to get up here and just to preach some good sermon or to have people leave and say, wow, that was good preaching. I want people to be helped, Father. This is my one shot at everybody this week, and I want people to leave here with something that will change their lives. So help me to accomplish that tonight, Father, and I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The word is good. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And look at this. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so the Bible tells us that we each have a race to run. And the race that He's talking about is the race in life and fulfilling God's plan, going through life and doing what He wants us to do and doing all that He's called us to and walking into all that. And it says to run that race. And how many of you know that the final prize of that race is going to be heaven? It's going to be our home going. It's going to be seeing Jesus. But how many of you know that that's the ultimate victory? But there's victories along the way down here. You know, there's financial victories. There's spiritual victories. There's physical victories. There's victories in your family. There's overcoming. There's different things. And so there's different victories along the way. And you know, in a race, how many of you know the victory's not found at the start? But the victory is found in the finishing, and finishing requires some things in people, doesn't it? It requires some grit. It requires some determination. It requires some you know, motivation. It requires endurance, I guess, is what you'd say, you know. And the victory's not in the starting. And at the starting, there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of thrill at the start of something. But over time, that excitement can wane. That you know, feelings of joy and euphoria at the beginning, it wanes because why? Then the tests come, the time comes, the calendar comes and things. And, you know, I was thinking about a gift that my daughter got at Christmas, and I don't think it was from anybody at the church. Gosh, I hope not after I tell you what happened with this thing. But I think it was a family member, and it was a blanket set that came in little, I don't know what size squares they were, but they were a little cloth squares, and it was just a little kit for kids to make their own blanket. And what they gave you the pattern, different pattern options, and then you put it together and you tie the strings together, and eventually when it's all done, you have your own blanket. And so she got that, and she just thought that was just the coolest thing ever to be able to make her own blanket. Well, she got through about one row of tying those things together, and I could see that this is not going well. And so I said, Abby, how about this? You know, this task is just seems so big. I know it did take a while. You know, there was I think like on each square there was like 8 strands that you had to tie in a certain way, and it was time consuming. And so I said, listen, how about we just focus on doing one row a day? And so she got excited about that, and the next day came in a row. didn't get done. And so now I have no idea where that one and a half row or whatever it is. It's not on her bed as a blanket. I can promise you that, you know, but what happened? There was a great excitement at the beginning. There was great excitement starting out, but the joy, the ultimate joy, wasn't in seeing that thing unfinished or not seeing the harvest of that thing. The ultimate joy would have been seeing that thing to the end. But what happened? Abby fainted. Amen. Abby fainted, and she didn't get to see that through. And unfortunately, we can be that way a lot of times, and we don't want to be. And go to Galatians chapter 6. I was meditating and sitting quiet before God, and I kept hearing the words, faint not, faint not, faint not, faint not. Because there's lots of opportunities to faint. Let me tell you, there's lots of opportunities. And so in Galatians 6 and verse 7, I want to just help you tonight, encourage you some things. I can't promise you that there won't be correction tonight, because how many of you know the word is corrective in nature? You know, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, preach the word. And he said to exhort. There's exhortation. He said to encourage, you know, but he also said to rebuke and to correct, because the things we're doing wrong is what hurt us, and the word is the right way. And so if there is correction, well, you know, we ought not to be a people that kick against correction. Actually, I'll just tell you this. 2 weeks ago, the Lord put on my heart a message about correction, and I have it all out, ready to go. It just hasn't been released yet in my spirit to release to preach on that, because one of the greatest traits you can have as a Christian to get you to where God wants you to be is to be correctable. And there's a lot of people that aren't correctable, and so we'll see when the Holy Ghost releases me for that. But we ought to be people that don't kick against correction, for the simple fact, and it'll come out in this message, that the Bible says God loves the ones he corrects. And so I just count it up as he loves me and cares about me. And so Galatians 6 and verse 7 says this. It says, to be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. And I want to focus on the end of that verse there, where it says that he shall also reap. Notice that God is saying that. He didn't say might. He didn't say that there's a chance you won't. No, God stamped it with his word. He said there will be reaping. Praise God. Reaping is available. It doesn't have to be something that you wonder if it's going to happen. Then in verse 8 it says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall the spirit reap life everlasting. And it says, let us not be weary in well season. Here it is again. For in due season, notice again, he tells you, we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. And so I'm thrilled about that. That's a promise from God that is telling us that we can reap, and it tells us in these three verses what we need to do to be able to reap. And when it's talking about reaping, it's talking about what every farmer looks forward to the most, which is harvest time. Now, to get to harvest time, there had to be some things you had to go through, some things you had to do that might not be convenient, that might not be comfortable, that might not be necessarily fun. Just like that blanket, you know, there was some sowing time. There was some putting in time, endurance time, but it would have led to something with that blanket that would have been a blessing. And God is telling us here that we can all reap. Praise God. Told us how we could do it. And I'll tell you, we need to get this truth in us, because what we're going to talk about tonight is why we don't reap, and it's in the title of the message, which the Spirit of God kept telling me, faint not, faint not. That's the reason that people don't reap, simple enough, and you're going to see it in the Word, is that they faint. And if you can know this, that God's promise is true, that the reaping will come, it will encourage you and motivate you not to faint. And so many times people lose sight of that. Because when we faint, why are we fainting? We're fainting because things got tough, because things are hard, because things got monotonous, things got repetitive. There was no feeling with it anymore. There was no excitement with it anymore. And so we figure, well, we might as well just fall away. Nothing's happened anyways. But he says to us, we shall reap. Twice he told us that reaping, it's not something that might happen. It's something that will happen. You know, farmers stake their whole lives on the principle of harvest time. They are so confident that harvest time will come and reaping will come, that they're willing to go out there in the hot sun in the summer to do all the things of the fields, to spray the fields, to plow the fields, to disc the fields, to till the fields, to weed the fields, to all the things that they do, to put fertilizer on the fields, all the things that they're willing to do. Why? Because they are so confident. They've made their living, their whole family, their food, their clothing, their house payment, their farm payment, all their equipment is all based on their confidence in the reaping. And they don't have they don't wonder if they're going to reap. And so many times, if we would have this principle in us, if I just stick with it, if I just stay with it, and I'm going to talk about what that looks like, what that means tonight, there's going to be a reaping to us. We have to have a revelation of the reaping. Amen? God is a God of blessing. God wants you to reap. God wants you to increase. God wants you to walk into more and to walk into better. And so in verse 8, look what it says here in verse 8. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." Now, when it's talking about the flesh, it's not just the works of the flesh, which when we're in the world, we are doing the works of the flesh. It's talking about sowing just into the world, sowing into the wrong things. There's reaping always. In everything you do, there's going to be reaping. Why? Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he'll reap. But it tells us here that he that sows to the flesh will reap corruption. But I'm focused on the next part because none of us need to be sown into the flesh. We're going to be talking about sowing into the right things. Why? Because there's a reaping for you. He says, "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, a lot of people would just say, well, that's just eternal life. Well, God didn't just give us Jesus just for heaven. Let me say that again because it sounds like I must be boring some of you. I said, God didn't just give Jesus to you just for heaven. If he would do that, he would be a deadbeat daddy. Amen. In fact, Jesus said, "I've come to give you abundant life." He says that the kingdom would take place on the earth just like it is in heaven. The Old Testament people who weren't even children of God had days of heaven on the earth. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:6, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. We're in a better place. And so if they had days of heaven on earth, by golly, that's what my grandma used to say, by golly, who's God? I don't know who golly is. Maybe it's Molly's cousin, Molly and Golly. I don't know, but I never met Golly. But by golly, we ought to have heaven on earth too, if the Old Testament people did. And so he tells us here that if we sow into the Spirit, we'll reap life. That word life, there's the word zoe. It means the God kind of life. Remember when Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." It's the same exact word. Well, now he's going to tell us how to get that life and life more abundantly. He says to sow into the Spirit realm. Praise God. Well, in John 6:63, we don't need to turn there, but in John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said this. He says, "My words are Spirit, and they are life." And so when it's talking about sowing into the world or sowing into the Spirit, you can say this confidently that he's talking about sowing into the things of the kingdom of God, operating or working the things of the kingdom of God, which would be the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he's telling us here, sow into these things. Put your time and effort, put your abilities, put your thoughts, put your doing into the, because you can do works of the flesh or you can do works of the Spirit. And the Bible says works of the Spirit will lead to life everlasting. Well, one of the works of the Spirit is being a doer of the Word. That's why I love what John must have been hearing from the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Or he picked up something and I heard from him, and so that's why I said this. Praise God. But abiding in him is no more than simply just doing his word. It's no more than simply just doing what God has said to do. And look what the word said in the offering message. If you abide in him, he said, you're going to bear much fruit, praise God. That's called the life. That's the zoe. The much fruit is the healing. It's the peace. It's the protection. It's the prosperity. It's the abundance. It's all the blessings that you want. And so he goes on to say in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Now this is what we're going to focus on tonight. The weary and well-doing. What's the well-doing he's talking about? Well, he talked about the well-doing at the end of verse 8, sowing into the Spirit. He's saying, don't grow weary doing the right thing. What's the right thing? The Word of God. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost gave me specific things to mention, just to point out, just throw out there, say, hey, what are we doing with this? Because he says, don't grow weary in doing that. What's that mean? It means keep on doing it. Yes. He says, why? Because there's a season if you'll keep doing it, that you'll reap, praise God. That's what I was trying to get through to Abby. If you just do a row a day, take the half hour, 45 minutes, do a row a day, there's going to come a day that you're going to be glad you stuck with it. And God is telling us tonight, if you'll stick with it, if you'll stick with what I've said, if you'll stick with what the Word of God says, don't grow weary in the things that you ought to be doing. There will be a reaping for you. Why? Because God is a rewarder. Yeah. God is a blesser. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so in verse 9, we have an assurance of if we stay with it, we'll reap. But we also have a warning. If we faint not. What's He telling us? That there's these things available, there's these blessings available. You know, it's like this, on the box, what did you see? You saw a happy, smiling little girl with her blanket that she made, right? She saw that. And so we know that's possible. We know. We could see it in the picture. That's possible. But because somebody didn't stick with doing the right thing, and because somebody didn't stay faithful with it over time, the reaping never came, even though it was available the whole time. Hallelujah. So let's get into the Word here and look at some things, because we have to be careful that we don't become the fainters. Go to Proverbs 28 and verse 20. What's it saying? Keep doing the right thing. You know what that translates to me in my mind? Faithfulness. Keep doing the right thing. Praise God. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says this. A faithful man. What's that mean? Somebody that keeps doing the right thing over and over again. Amen. A faithful man. Now look what God is saying. Will abound. What's He saying? There's abundance of something to the faithful one. What's the faithful one? Not the one that starts something and stops it. You know, one of the things that was a major characteristic or trait of mine as a unborn again person, a non-Christian, and then even early on in my Christian days, was unfaithfulness. What did it look like? Well, it would translate in starting things and not finishing things, right? You know, going to a job, not showing up for your job, you know, signing up for school, not going to class, not filling that out. You know, that just was my lifestyle. It was just my nature at the time. Very unfaithful. Well, the Bible says that a faithful man will abound in blessings. And so He's telling you that there is an abundance available to the one that will stay faithful. Well, what is the one that stays faithful? The one that doesn't faint. The one that will keep doing, because God said there's a reaping. The reaping is the abundance of blessings. He says the one that will keep doing the right thing and not faint is going to walk into things. And so we see right here, and this is what I want to get to people. Because sometimes, because some of these things I'm going to point out, I should have said, you know, I can't promise there's not going to be correction. I should have said, I promise you there's going to be correction tonight, is what I should have said to you. Because a lot of people don't get this and recognize this, that the way your life is, if you're not doing the Word, there's something you're missing out on. Yeah. There's a better, there's a higher, there's a more, there's an increase and an abundance that is being kept from you. Why? Because it's only for the ones that don't faint in doing the right thing. It's only for the ones that are faithful, that actually abound in the blessings. And so many times I'll point out some of these things, and because maybe life, you know, we're crisis oriented a lot of times. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we don't move until it's crisis time. I heard a minister one time say this, that people better hit their knees and pray, and if they don't, they'll be forced to. And a lot of times people won't pray or seek God until what? Life is so bad, they have no choice. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We're crisis-oriented a lot of times. Instead of being proactive, we're reactive, and we suffer and hurt a lot of times because of that. And so when people aren't going through major crises, I'll point some of these things out, and it'll strike a chord in their heart and say, well, you know what? I can't say I'm being too faithful now, but really life's not too bad. Yeah, but you don't know how good it could be. Yeah. And that's what He's trying to tell you. There's an abounding in blessings for the person that will be faithful to do this stuff. And so that's what I'm trying to drill into you tonight, that we need to become a people that are good and faithful at doing the right thing over and over, and not fainters. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to say right off the bat because it just came out of my spirit. This church should be a lot farther along. We have a lot of fainters. Now, to say, I didn't call you out specifically, but I'm just telling you, in general, the Holy Ghost, a lot of fainters. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to show you some of these things tonight. And, you know, we're in a great opportunity here. What's interesting here is these things apply personally. But when I was in my office, I was meditating on this message. I thought, my goodness, this is exact. The first four things that the Holy Ghost put on my heart, I had no connection to the fact of how they bless the house of God, but how, you know, by doing these things, they actually bless you. But they also are things that every single one of us should be doing for the benefit and progressing of the house of God. Amen? Hallelujah. This place ought to be the most important place in your life.
Yes.
Did I just say that? Yes, I did. I won't take it back. Why? Because there's no other place, and there's nothing else in your life that can do what this place can do for you. There's nothing else that in your life that can do for you what the house of God can. And a lot of people don't have that revelation, and so therefore we just don't take ownership of it. And I'm preaching to the choir, you know, because you're here. We don't take, you know, just see some of these things. Now, I don't want you to just think they're just for the church, because actually the intention was, from my perspective anyways, was to talk to you about personal things that you can do and change and to not faint. And so let's just look at these here real quick. Go with me to Psalms 92:13. So if you're one that numbers and labels, remember what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be faithful. And what happens? Faithful through the hard times, faithful through the down times, faithful through what seems like the boring times, the lethargic times, the non-exciting times. Why? Because we're convinced there's a reaping for doing right. Because the faithful man abounds, and the one that does not faint will reap. Praise God. What are we reaping? The Zoe life. Hallelujah. And so Psalm 92 and verse 13, number one, if you're a laborer, faithful or doing the right thing and not fainting and going to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Why would I harp on that? Well, first of all, you need to know, if I was worried about big crowds, I would never have started a church in South Dayton, New York.
Yeah.
That's the truth. I didn't start a church in South Dayton for big crowds. In fact, I did a Wednesday night service through the wintertime. That many of the services were me, Jeff, who's my head usher back in South Dayton, and one other guy who would sleep through most of my sermons. He's not with us anymore. I mean, he might not be with us on the earth anymore. I don't know. He might be in heaven now, but I haven't seen him in years. He was an older gentleman. He had to be moved away because of the situation. But there was a time that he started sleeping, and he started talking in his sleep out loud. And I'm preaching, and we're just, who's going to talk louder? And so finally, I had to stop, and I said, Bruce, came to us, brother, you're talking in your sleep. You got to knock it off. Oh, sorry, Pastor. So I go to preach it again. It happened again. Woke him up, same thing. Third time, I just let him keep talking. But I'd show up faithful to go there and stop. So I'm not worried about numbers. This isn't so pastor can have the biggest church in town. I don't care about the biggest church in town. Jesus didn't need the biggest church in town to turn the world upside down. All he needed was 12. We have enough in here that if people would be faithful to do things, to turn the town of Allegheny on its head, to turn Cattaraugus County. Why? The disciples turned the whole world upside down. They did. Praise God. It's the truth. And so why would I say that? Well, in Psalm, I care about people. And look what it says in Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted. Planted in the house of the Lord. When I plant something in my garden, it's always there. It's always there. It's always there. It's not there one time in 3 months, it's not there, and in 3 months it's somewhere else. No, it's always there. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't get into religion here. Don't think I'm down on vacations or down on when things come up or down on family things. No, we're talking about a lifestyle of inconsistency. We're talking about a lifestyle of unfaithfulness. Amen? Rest is good. Getting away is good. Praise God. That's not what we're talking about. So don't, you know, you can get in the ditch on anything. Amen. You can get in the ditch on any subjects. That's not what we're talking about. But being planted is being there more than you're not there. And why? Why would I want you to do that? Be planted so the pastor can have big numbers? No, don't care about that. Be planted in the house of the Lord because their lives will flourish. So if you're somebody that says, well, this strikes a chord in me. I'm really not that faithful in my church sense. You need to know something. There's things missing that are available to you. A what? A flourishing. I can't get this through to people's heads at times And we've, and again, preaching to the choir here, but I'm telling you, this church specifically, I don't do anything different here than I do South Dayton. There's some kind of force, I know it's the enemy, that just really talks to people here and keeps people, and I don't know if it's the Saturday night syndrome or what it is, but there's so much flourishing that's missing out in some of our people's lives, and it simply comes down to this verse right here. Amen. Hallelujah. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And so there's a flourishing to be had for the person who plants. You know, I remember when Sister Annie Durant, and she's a prophet of God. I remember one time she was in a service in South Dayton. And this is when we were in the second building, which was on the storefront, which is where our fellowship hall is now. That was the old sanctuary. And the Durants came in and did a service. And, you know, we only had a handful of people, but there was a young girl there. And she had taken offense, gotten into the world, and gotten wrong thinking in her, and was completely off the rails and things that she was saying, doing. And they started to get really offended with me. You know, when you're not doing the word, when the pastor preaches the word, it can rub you the wrong way, you know, and people get offended, mad at me. You know, they did it to Jesus. They're going to do it to anybody that shares the word. I'm sure you've ministered to someone or told friends and family about it, and they take it out on you, right? And you can't take that stuff personal. But anyways, I was amazed at that gift of the prophet's office that day, because she ministered and doesn't know anybody in my church from Adam, you know, doesn't know any of them at all. And she starts ministering, and she looks back at the girl. I can't even believe that the girl showed up, because she was so bitter, had been spreading different things about the church and just talking bad about me. I was shocked she came to the meeting. Maybe it was out of curiosity. Maybe she just felt compelled to go. And all of a sudden, Sister Annie walked to the back and got down on one knee in front of that girl. And that girl started just weeping. The conviction, there's just so much emotion that came out. She started weeping, and Sister Annie started ministering and said, sweetie, just so you know, this is the place God has you. This is the place God has you. This is where you're going. And I know you're thinking about leaving. Well, she didn't know that from anybody except the Holy Ghost told her. Now, why do I say that story? Because we had that same prophet in this church. And on a Saturday night years ago, you know what she preached? She preached a sermon about your pastor. And she said, I challenge you for the next year to make this place such a priority to hearing from your man of God, because Jesus said, without a pastor, you'll be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, harassed sheep without a shepherd, right? She said, I dare you to make the commitment to be here for a year. And she went through the Bible and all the blessings and what the Holy Ghost told her. Well, you know what she didn't preach in South Dayton? Didn't preach that message the next day. Why? The Holy Ghost knew this church needed it. And I'm telling you, as the pastor of this church, and to those hopefully about watching by live stream, I love you. I'm not down on people for being unfaithful. I am not. I want to see people flourish. I've already told you, I'm not in it for the numbers. You can be gone for a month's time. You're going to get the same hug from me, the same prayers from me, the same love from me. That's not what I'm in this for. It's to see you flourish, but people are missing. And what happens? We get excited. I mean, do you realize what God has dropped in your lap in this church? And the connection with Pastor Michael and Reverend Greer and the Durants and Pastor Nancy Dufresne and Pastor Webb. I mean, all these things, and a word and faith church and a spirit church. He's dropped that in people's lap, and some of us just treat it like it's nothing. Flourishing depends on it. Amen? Flourishing depends on it. And so many times people have not recognized the value of the house of God. And it's caused them to struggle. Why? I'm just going to tell it like it is, if you don't mind. Most of us don't stay home when we're tired from work. I'm tired. I'm not going to work today. No, try to do that too many times and see what happens to you. It's not convenient for me today to go to work. But we go. Right? Come on now. Don't get uncomfortable on me. And there's so many other things that we're so faithful to, but church comes, and the Bible's clear we ought to be there. I mean, I could spend a whole message preaching on how you ought to be here and be under the Word of God and under a pastor and hearing the Word. We could spend time doing that. But that verse is enough for me that I know I need to be there to flourish. Yes. And, you know, so many times people aren't faithful with this. And what? They faint. What's fainting mean? You know what one of the words of fainting there, if you look it up, means to relax. You relax. Well, I don't need to go. I just, what am I really missing? That's your problem. I don't really need to be there. There's more important things. No, I already told you there's nothing more important in your life than this appointment right now. Until you get that revelation, you never walk into the flourishing that God has for you. And it's true, you know, that people miss out and people don't get what they're supposed to get. And there's a transaction. You know, Romans 1:11, Paul said this. He says, I desire that I may see you, that I may impart something to you. There's an impartation that comes from the pastor to the sheep. And so many people have devalued it in America. Yeah. Devalued it. You know, I remember hearing a minister went over, I think it was Brazil they went over to, and it was not air conditioned. It was 100 and some degrees, high humidity. And there were like, on a Sunday morning service, or it might have been an evening service, I think it was Sunday morning service, they had multiple services where people would have to wait in line to get into the service and be sweat and but they had to be there. They had to be there. And we're so, I'm tired tonight. Wow. That's going to be hard pill to swallow in front of the one that has holes in his hands and his feet. And did things he didn't want to do. Praise God. I'm just trying to get you to flourish. But what? People faint and they miss out on what God has for them. Well, I'll go to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. You know, if you're part of this church, you ought to be here. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry. I'm like the dad of the church and dads have to correct the kids sometimes. It's a bummer that I have to say, you know what? Please be here for Pastor Michael. I shouldn't have to say that. When I say Pastor Michael's speech, I'm making that a priority. The apostle, the prophet is going to be here. The overseer of the family church is coming to hear and have a word for me. I shouldn't have to, but I know I do around here. Please show up for that service. Hallelujah. You better be excited about that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Don't worry, South Dayton gets their own spankings. But you know what I found? The more a kid grows up, the less spankings they get. Caleb was doing something the other day. I said, don't think. I know you're as tall as me now, buddy. Don't think. I'll still not put you over my knee and spank you. I think it'd be funny to watch you get spanked as an 11-year-old. Because he hardly gets spanked anymore. He just never does anything wrong, hardly. The kid does most everything right, you know. It's the other one that I get my spanks in on, you know. Still fulfill the quotas. You know, if you have a 2-kid quota of spanks, they're still getting fulfilled with one. And when I say spanks, I'm not talking abuse and meanness. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking love and encouragement and helping her out. But she needs a lot of help. And anyways, I said, I'll do it, buddy. I'll do it, you know. And but as he's growing up and getting more matured, less spankings, you know. And it's the same thing. As this church grows and matures, less spankings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, anyways, in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now look at this, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, so he wants you to mature, to perfect, but then look at this. For the work of the ministry. What's it talking about here? Well, one aspect of the work of the ministry is serving. And, you know, there's opportunities to serve in your church. There is. Could use more nursery workers, could use more children's church workers, could use more ushers, could use more people to be back in sound so the same people don't have to do it and they could actually sit out in the seats, you know? Could use those things. But, you know, what happens is there's a lack of a faithfulness, a lack of sticking with it, and then what? You get the same few people. You know, we ought not to have people. Here we go. Are you ready for another spank? I guess we're going through the spank factory tonight. We ought not to have people from another church have to be the faithful ones for this church. People from this place ought to rise up. And again, don't misunderstand me. There are faithful people here. Don't misunderstand. Say it's across the board. I'm saying generally, these are areas we need to step up around here. Faithfulness to serve. Now again, why on earth, Pastor Mike, are you saying this? Well, my main goal and heart as your pastor is to love you and for your life. Praise God. And look what it says in Matthew 23 and verse 11. Does Jesus think we ought to be a servant? He sure does. Praise God. Matthew 23 and verse 11. Don't want to faint. Well, I'm sick of doing the nursery. I'm sick of doing children's church. I'm sick of being an usher. I'm sick of having to do sound. I don't want to do that. There's a reaping for faithfulness. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you, you know what their characters would be? Shall be your servant. Well, hop over to Hebrews 6. Is there a blessing for this? Yeah, there sure is. How many of you know that when you serve, you're not only serving God, you're serving your fellow man? You know, Miss Julie downstairs doing children's church, I would guess that that's quite a service to the parents that have kids in children's church. Miss Heather down in nursery, doing the nursery tonight, I'm guessing that's a great service to the parents that have kids in nursery. I'm guessing that you like coming in and sitting on a clean toilet. That you like coming in and there's not dirt all over the floors. And I'm guessing that you're glad that we have people that put the verses up and the words to the music. Amen. Someone to collect your offerings and to count it and to sit out in the hallway, show up faithfully and make sure we're all safe and watch over. That's a service to people. Amen. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 6. So for you people that are faithful and serving, you grab hold of this. Don't get weary. Don't faint in that. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. When you're in nursery, you're ministering to the saints. When you're ushering, you're ministering to the saints. Yes, you're obeying God, but you're helping everybody. Praise God. And he said, that's Hebrews 6:10, he said, I'm not unrighteous to forget. What? Why is he not forgetting? What's he mean? I'm not going to forget to what? Bless you for it. Look at that. There's a reward for it. There's a blessing for you serving. Jesus said greatness comes with it. Come on now. We all ought to be doing something faithfully in our local church. Yes, we all ought to be doing something faithfully in our local church. Now again, what did he say? There's a blessing if you don't faint. If you're not, there's things that are lacking in your life that could be there that would be a blessing to you. Amen? Now go with me to Luke 16 and verse 10. So number one is going to church. Number two is serving. And again, this is just personal for your life, my take. But as I was sitting there meditating, I thought, wow, Lord, going to church would bless the house of God. Serving would bless the house of God. And this next one, being faithful with your money, not only will bless you, but will bless this place. Hallelujah. Luke 16 and verse 10. Don't get weary. Don't faint with doing the right thing with your money. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also that in so much. He that is unjust in least is unjust in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So God calls money the least of things. And he also says, not only is it the least of things, but I expect you to be faithful in it. I can't commit to trust anything of real value until you're faithful with that which is least. Amen. Well, what does it mean to be faithful with your money? It means, like what John was saying in the offering, doing and abiding in what the master or the word says to do, which is what? Bringing the tithe and bringing the offering. Now, again, before you start thinking I'm out for your money, because in all of these you could say, well, there's got to be an angle. My angle is to bless you. Go to Malachi 3 and verse 10. We've all looked at these. We've seen these before. But my goodness, it's good to be reminded. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there's meat in my house. Well, what's his house? The church is his house. And prove me not herewith, says the Lord of hosts. Look at this. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But in verse 8 he says, tithes and offerings. So he's telling you there, I'll bless you, room enough not to receive it. Go to Luke 6:38. Luke 6, 38. Look what it says. Give and it'll be given unto you. This is on top of the tithe. Like John was saying, he can't even be a giver. He's given 4.5%. You know, he slipped up and said 90%. I think we ought to change it to 90%. Let's go 90%. Let's do 90. Hallelujah. Luke 6:38. Given will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. You see that running over part? Shall men give into your bosom, for the same measure you beat will all measure you again. So what's he telling you in both places, tithes and offerings? It only benefits you. But you know how many people faint when it comes to their finances? You know how many people start out like a ball of fire? Now, if you're here, say, well, he's not talking to me. I'm faithful in my tithes and offerings. Are you faithful to do what he's spoken in your heart to do? Because usually God's more generous than me. Yeah. And then he actually speaks up and tells me an amount to give. It's usually when he's telling me that, it's to stretch me and to help me. Now, he's not always telling me to give bigger amounts. That's not what I'm saying. There's a lot of times I just purpose in my own spirit. But there are times that an offering's come up and God, I'll have it on my heart. And he'll say, no, do this. And what is it to do? Not to get me to faint and to get nervous, to get scared and to get discouraged. It's to get me into the more that he has for me. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice if we just tithed one time? You know, faithfulness is not a one-time thing. Faithfulness is doing the right thing time after time after time, right? Cindy Lauper tried to tell you. Right? Cindy had this revelation. Time after time. When you're lost, you can find me. I will be there. Time after time. Right? When it's time for the offering, make sure you tithe. Right? Yeah. Amen. I mean, don't let Cindy Lauper outdo you in this area. But I'm telling you, people, there is a missing out when you're not faithful financially. There's a reaping that God wants for you that you're missing out on when you're not faithful financially. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Go to James 5:16. See, this is simple stuff. Let's start doing the simple stuff first. James 5:16. When it's time for you to serve in the church, make sure you do it. Time. Yes. Saturday night at 6 p.m. You're getting it. It's not hard. Just do it over and over and over again. Doing the right thing over and over and over again will reap blessings for you. You know, I'll just say this as a pastor. Almost every time that people are struggling, you can always point, almost always, point to something that they're just not being faithful in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. James 5:16. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or makes tremendous power available. Power available to what? Change things, move things, turn things, help things. Y'all do know that there's a devil that wants nothing to do with this church, wants this church to go nowhere, that this church is here to be a voice to this region. I didn't say the only voice, to be a voice to this region. Well, a voice of what? Faith. A voice of the Spirit, a voice of the Word. We're not a church that, family churches aren't churches that compromise. We don't compromise in holiness. We don't compromise in money. We don't compromise in the Holy Ghost. We don't compromise in the Word. We are Word people, Spirit people contending for it. That's what the world needs. That's what this area needs. And that's what the devil hates. And so the devil's going to throw everything he can. I'm just here to tell you, and you wouldn't know it unless you are in the Spirit doing these things, but I'm the one that's leading this forefront and pastoring. The plowing has been hard here. I do the same thing here. It's been way more difficult. There was a season in South Dayton where it was rough, 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 and then we had a breakthrough, a reaping, and now there's some things that are kind of in a flow now. I'll say that real quick, going back to the last point. That reminds me. Most people never get into the flow of seed time and harvest financially because they're not faithful. Yeah. That word flow just brought that up to make sure to say to you. What am I saying? Almost everyone that I know that faithfully tithes and gives and obeys their heart, they're always having testimonies for me of some financial thing that happened. Yeah. And breakthrough financially and different things that happen. Why? They've gotten into a flow now.
Yeah.
If you're constantly giving, you're constantly receiving.
That's right.
It's just the truth. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And the devil wants to come against this place and it's been hard plowing here in different areas, different resistance, different oppression. Well, we're not going to get through it without the faithful prayers of the people.
Right.
You do know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, just like I could talk about a whole service on money, a whole service on why it's important to go to church, a whole service on serving, I could talk about the whole message about the importance of your prayers. Amen. But not only prayers for this place. Remember, God showed me about how it benefits the house of God. And my perspective was, I want to see how it blesses the sheep. You need power for things in your life. You have opposition, things coming against you, breakthroughs, revelations, things that God's trying to get over to you that's being withheld and opposed by the devil. That power is the only thing that's going to break that down. Are you faithfully praying? Come on. I used this example weeks ago in South Dayton. Lord gave it to me about a freezer. A freezer supplies, when a freezer's running right, it supplies, there's power that goes to that freezer, and it keeps things fresh, keeps things okay, keeps things blessed on the inside of there. But if you just shut that power off for 3 weeks, it's gonna show up. When the church didn't supply the power for James, it showed up, and he died. When the church supplied the power for Peter, things lived. Amen.
Amen.
We need to be faithfully praying in our lives, seeking God, praying for things that God's put our heart, praying for the future, praying for the plan of God, praying for the house of God.
Yeah.
And let's be honest with prayer. We'll hear a message on prayer. I'm guilty of this. Pastor Michael, almost always at his camp meetings, will talk about prayer. And I'll shoot out of that place like a ball of fire.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to pray. Why? It's easy to get excited amongst the sheep and then you get home and what? Life happens, distractions, and all these different things happen. And what? We faint. And then what? We don't reap what the power was meant to do. Why does it make power available? Power available to walk into what you need to walk into. To experience what you need to experience. But we faint in these things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth. Praise God. Go to Mark 11:23. Just a couple more. We'll do it real quick. Mark 11:23. I just want to get these out because these are the six things that were put on my heart. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but he shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have what he says. He'll have what he says. So you know what that tells me? I'm going to say it till I have it.
Yeah.
He'll have what he says. So if I don't have it, then you know what my cue is? If I don't have it, keep saying it.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah.
If I don't have it, the cue is keep saying it. Because he said, I'll have what I say. So how many times we get discouraged or the mountain's big or it's just we're saying the same thing every day. That's called endurance, people. A lot of being a good, faithful, blessed Christian is just being able to outlast that lethargic feeling, that boredom, that pressure, that opposition, and just to continue every day to wake up and declare to your mountain. Why? If the money hasn't come yet, you keep saying it. If the health hasn't come yet, you keep saying it. And sometimes you're alone and you're walking your dog on Trask Road in Lakewood, and it's like, what am I doing? What am I saying? Is it doing anything? It is, because the word says so. And you have to rise above those feelings. You know what I'll say a lot of times? This will help you before I'll pray. Especially when I'm down or oppression's against me and I'm going through something, I'll say this to the Lord before I pray and confess and release my faith. I'll say, Father, I thank you that everything I'm about to confess and pray has nothing to do with the outcome of it, has nothing to do with how I feel right now. Has nothing to do with the thoughts that are going through my head, has nothing to do with what I can hear, has nothing to do with what I can see, and has nothing to do with what the calendar. And by the way, that's a message coming down the pipeline too. See, you thought on vacation I just kicked my feet up and drank lemonade all week and was with my kids all the time. No, praying, getting messages, working out on the plane and what we're going to do and what God has for us. And there's a message coming down the road called the enemies of faith. Amen. Let me tell you what the enemies of faith are. The calendar, your ears, your eyes, your thoughts, and your feelings. And I'll say to the Lord, doesn't matter. All that matters is what you said and you told me to say it. You didn't say I had to feel it when I say it. You didn't say I'd have goosebumps when I say it. You just told me to keep saying it. So I just say it. Praise God. And how many times would we be able to look back and say, you know what? I haven't confessed for my healing in who knows how long. I want to be healed, but I sure haven't confessed for it. Come on, we're all been there. I mean, I'm not doing this to you. I'm in the crowd with you. Amen. I'm in the crowd with you. Now, last but not least, this is an interesting one. That the Holy Ghost put on my heart to say, but to be faithful, to be patient, to wait on God's timing. What am I talking about? Well, I'll give you a couple verses to clear this up. Psalms 127, verse 1. A faithfulness to stay patient to God's timing in things. Hallelujah. Not disqualifying yourself from something because of impatience. Look what Psalms 127 verse 1 says. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. You see what that's saying there? You can build something, but if it's not the Lord doing it, oh, it's going to be in vain. Yeah. You know that I've mentioned this. I have on my heart to start other churches. It's part of the calling. It's part of the gift that's in my life. It's part of that office, that other office. I know, and I know this, that I could any, mini, miny, mo my way on a map till I fall on a city. And I know how to start a church. I know what to do. I could go in there, and I could start a church. And you know what? People would get born again. People would get saved. It wouldn't necessarily mean that it was of God. Why? If God didn't tell me go to such and such a city, if God didn't tell me to start such and such a church, amen, then there's going to be no fruit with it. When I say the fruit that there should be, there might be some fruit just because the word's good and God will bless as much as he can. But I want to wait for God. That's why pastor? He said, South Dayton. Well, I don't have any questions. Don't question it. You want to build a church there? Fine. He said, Allegheny. You know, I looked in Randolph and Gwanda because in my mind I thought, well, I had to be somewhere I can get to two places on a Sunday morning. And that's the only two cities I can get to on a Sunday morning that are away from Fredonia and away from the Jamestown churches, Gwanda and Randolph. And I went there months and months, just nothing in my spirit. So I just waited on him. Why? Unless he builds it. I could go to Randolph and start a church and get people to come. Yeah. I could go to Gwanda and get church start people, have people come. Well, I know how to start a church. Just start preaching the word, people will come. But it doesn't mean it's of God. Right. And you don't want what's not God. Right. Go to Proverbs 10:22. You know where this really, really rings true? Single people. Yeah. Yep. You know what impatience will cause you to happen to you? End up with the wrong one. You know who I heard say that? Pastor Nancy Dufresne. So I quoted her, gave her the credit for the first time. That's the last time she's getting credit for that. Next time I'm just going to say it and leave you to wonder who said, man, my goodness, he's so full of wisdom. You end up with the wrong one. Look at Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. You know, I've learned something about God. And you see this throughout the Word. You see it with David. You see it with Joseph. You see it with Abraham. God's timing is so much different than our own timing. He already told us, and I still have to remind myself of this, he doesn't think like I think. And thankfully, his thoughts are better than mine. Think about Joseph. God gave Joseph a dream that he was going to rule over his family and over all of Israel, right? And that he was going to be a blessing and it would extend into Egypt. And read the story, right? He got a dream that it was going to happen. And it didn't come to pass. Well, Joseph, first of all, was in slavery in prison for about 13 years. He got thrown in a pit by his brothers, taken into slavery, then thrown into prison for something he didn't do. Then when he was in prison, he interpreted a dream. The guy that he interpreted the dream for said he would remember him before the king. He didn't remember before the king. He had to spend two more years there. And finally gets out, becomes prime minister of Egypt. Go with me real quick to this verse. Go to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50 and verse 20. See, you know what Joseph could have been tempted to think? Because here's what I'm saying about. God's put things on your heart. Why does it seem like it's taking forever? You're single. You want a spouse. Why does it seem like no one's showing up? If you have trust in Him, that behind the scenes He's working, you won't question things. You'll just be open to Him. I've had to learn this the hard way. Genesis 50 and verse 20. Is that what I said? Look what Joseph said to his brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me. Now they're there repenting to him, saying, oh my gosh, this and that. And he said, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as if it is this day, to save much people. Joseph being put in the position that he was put in rescued the lives of so many people. All that waiting, God wasn't against Joseph. God wasn't sleeping on Joseph's watch and not being able to help him. God had a purpose and God had a plan. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Waiting patiently on the Lord for His timing. Now, why am I saying this? Because it's ringing for some people in here. Some people might be, this doesn't really apply to me. Some people, you're going through things where there's patience involved, where there's time, and there's the temptation to question why. Why is it taking so long? Why is this not showing? No, no, no. Your Father is not sleeping on the job. Your Father, you have to remember, your Father is more pro-you than you are pro-you. And we could be pretty pro-us. Like we want ourselves blessed. He is for you. And so in that time, that patience time, where it's so tempting to be discouraged, don't get outside of what God's doing and compromise or get impatient. Fall away in faithfulness. Fall away in your confessions. Fall away in doing the right thing. This is an error. No, no, no. There's a blessing for someone that won't faint in the patienceness of God's timing. Amen? Hallelujah. So whoever needed that, however people needed that, be blessed tonight. You look at David. David was told as a teenager, you're going to be king. And then David went years and years and serving under. What if David would have fainted and said, enough of this guy, I'm out of here. Oh, Israel would not have seen its greatest natural king it ever had. Come on now. A lot of people in the Bible got things because of faithfulness and waiting. And a lot of people went outside the boundaries of God and got impatient, couldn't wait, and fainted. And they reaped the consequences of it. Amen. So what's the point? Do the right thing over and over and over again. There's a reaping for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're grateful for it. We're thankful for it. Father, as we close this service, I pray that anyone that would have that check in their heart, that encouragement that you are speaking to them in this service, Father, if there's adjustments that need to be made, they'll make those adjustments. Father, we're not mad at anybody. We're not down on anybody. Just like you're not mad at anyone. You're not down on people. We're always trying to bring people higher. But at times we got to get the bad stuff away and knock that stuff off us before we can get into all that you have for us. And so, Father, help us tonight to make the adjustments necessary to walk into the flourishing, the blessing, the reaping, the harvest that you have for us in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. If you're here tonight and you can say, or if you're watching online right now and you say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know how to get to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm here to tell you how to get to heaven. The Bible says if you'll receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you believe on Him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. And then I'm so thankful that, you know, he said, what does that mean to believe on Him? Well, he gave us the outline in Romans 10:9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you're here tonight, you could say, I don't know if I'm born again. Well, I need to qualify some things. If you go to church, that doesn't mean you go to heaven. If you don't go to church, it doesn't mean you can't go to heaven. If you have a laundry list of wrong deeds and immoral acts, that can't keep you out. Just like good deeds and moral acts aren't the thing that are going to get you in. It's Jesus. What do you do with Jesus? If you've never made a decision for Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus tonight as your Lord and Savior, and that will do a few things for you. Number one, get you into the family of God. God will be your Father. He's a good Father. Heaven will be yours. And now the blessings of the Bible, the blessings of being a Christian are at your disposal, and we can help you get into those things. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in this service you want to receive Jesus tonight? Just lift your hand high in there. I'll have you put it down. Again, we're not embarrassing anybody, not trying to point anybody out. We just want you to get into a relationship with Him. That's where life begins, you know. Anybody all want to receive Jesus tonight? You can say, I don't know that I know Him. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Let's get those thoughts out of there. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Lift your hand up in the air. I don't see any hands in this service, so I trust everyone in here is walking with the Lord. But if they're not, and if someone on live stream that I can't see their hand or in the future via the archives, you're not walking with Jesus, I pray that you would not pass from this life till you've made Him your Lord. And it's simple. It's a simple dialogue with Him. It's just crying out from your heart. And it would sound something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And this isn't something you believe in your head because it's hard to believe that in your head. But in your heart, you know. You say, I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my life. If you'll pray that and mean it, He'll do His part. Praise God. Salvation will be yours. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for everything tonight, for the word, for help tonight. Yeah. Is there anyone here you need hands laid on you? There's an anointing here to drive that out. Any sickness, any disease, come forward. Don't delay. There's an anointing for that. It just dropped in me just like that. I hadn't planned on doing that. But the Bible says in Mark 16, if you lay hands on the sick, you'll recover. And so if you're from a background or from a church that you're not familiar with this, you know, just look in the Bible. Mark 16, I'll help you with those things. But I don't have the power. There's nothing special in my hands unless there's an anointing there. So we just thank you, Father, right now, driving out every sickness, every disease, everything wrong, every crooked thing, everything out of order, everything out of place. We speak to that body right now, and we command the healing power of God to go from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. In Jesus' name, be free from that, Patty, whatever it is. Be free from that in the name, in the name, in the name. We thank you for that anointing. We thank you for that anointing that goes in. Father, we thank you for that. Yeah, real quick, Kim, I just put this up, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. You say, why are you doing this? Because the Holy Ghost told me I need to point this out for somebody. Somebody needs to see this to help you with your faith. Maybe you're not used to this, but in Mark 16, in verse 15, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now you say, well, he's talking to disciples. Well, all the world, the disciples never made it to Allegheny, New York. So he's talking to his believers. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And so one of the mandates we have as Christians, so lay hands on the sick. And when that anointing shows up, I know it, I recognize it. I don't want to miss that. So if there's anyone else seeing hands laid on you, come forward. But if not, we'll just worship God for a second. Thank you, Lord. Come on and worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. We endeavor to be faithful. We endeavor to get our thinking right. We won't faint, Father. We're going to keep doing the right thing over and over because you see and you are faithful. So we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I love you. We'll see you next Saturday. You're dismissed.